Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
Oh, KJ and Lyons, WEEI, the second hour happening right now, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. So the answer is revealed to be Drake May, pick three. Not a drop back, not trade down, not Marvin Harrison Jr. And here's where I would say that Elliott Wolf is able to sleep well at night. It has nothing to do with how Drake may or may not perform down the road. Is because all the quarterbacks were gone by 12. Nobody saw that coming, John. And I think if the Patriots, let's say they traded down and thought that Penix or Bo Nix was going to be available around the top of the second round, oh my God, what would the conversation be today?
Yeah, we'd be talking about like Spencer Rattler in the third round or
no,
something.
Like, no, that would we'd be like, fire everybody.
Yeah, like, that would, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that would be their quarterback situation right now. Like, instead, they get May at three, who, by the way, I think is going to be a really good player in the NFL. But yeah, to your point,
I thought so in 2021
like,
as well.
Like, if Bo Nix is gone by 12 and Penix goes top 10, McCarthy is, you know, gone early in the first round, like, where if the Patriots had even traded back to 11, like that trade with the Vikings, right, for 11 and 23,
right,
even at 11, they would have had limited options, right, with that trade back. Bo Nix probably would have been the only guy left at that point. So that's why, to me, yeah, you bring up a good point. If they had traded down, they might not have gotten anyone.
I thought if anybody they would have traded down with, it would have been with the Giants at six.
Sure.
Because I would say, hey, get out of the top five in terms of paying for someone that you may not believe in or love, but you could still get high talent. And but if you're at that point, like your choices are really J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, or Michael Penix Jr., the way things rolled out. And you're like, wow, I don't know if you believe in J.J. McCarthy that much. And I didn't think he was I thought he was just kind of a narrative to push to make more people urgent to try. Like, I think that really was a move to try and get Denver's attention to see if Denver was potentially going to give up maybe a first-round player, maybe like a Courtland Sutton. You know what I mean? Like some real assets in return along with the first-round pick. But that didn't happen. And again, I said that the draft got drunk. I actually get what happened in Atlanta, but I think with Drake May, and this kind of, and I hate to, we're going to skip down to the sixth round because that's where the other story is. I said this is what the problem was when Mac Jones was here. It had nothing really to do with game day. It had to do with, was he ever pushed in practice? And I think this is a really good, now no one's saying that Joe Milton is going to usurp Drake May, but he can push him in practice as he's getting ready to get to that starting position, maybe around game 10 to 12.
And I think another thing in that vein is Drake May had to deal with a lot more difficulties in his college career than Mac Jones did. And I know Mac Jones, I think he had that one QB competition against Tua, which he won. But, I mean, he was playing with essentially an all-star team around him in 2020. They smoked everybody. Whereas Drake May, 2 years ago, I think he had a decent amount of talent around him, especially at receiver. But he did take 40 sacks in 2022. And last year...
And that's fair. It was his rookie year.
And last year, May took 29 sacks, which I know it sounds better than 40, and it is a better number. But that was on 90 fewer pass attempts. So he was still under pressure a lot. He had a shaky offensive line. He had a new offensive coordinator last year. He also had less receiver talent. And I think there's something to that. And I feel like a little bit of a broken record. I know, folks, I've talked about this a lot on the air, but quarterbacks that are really good in the NFL almost always have some sort of major adversity in their college career or their rookie year of the NFL to go through, and it helps them later in their careers. You look at all the good quarterbacks in the NFL, whether it's Joe Burrow, who had to transfer schools in college, Josh Allen, who had major questions around him as a rookie, Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, who had major questions around them as a rookie, especially Jackson. Like, I think in the long run, for the great quarterbacks, it helps those guys to go through stuff like that, and that's something that May
or
has
sit,
that,
or Ma- sit.
Yeah, and that too, sure. But that's something that May has checked off that Mac never really did.
See, that's the one thing. I playing revisionist history with Mac, I think Mac did what he was supposed to do in college.
Yeah, like I'm not knocking Mac for being on a great team, but
right.
Like,
and if anything, it wasn't his fault that Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa was in front of him. I think more of my concern is Drake May playing in a weaker conference. I didn't see domination. Even if you don't have the tools around you, I don't see domination against much lower quality teams. Like, you're really not battling guys. Like, some of the highlights were against Georgia Tech, and that was a loss. And that shouldn't be a loss. You should be the one. If you're going to make the comparison to Justin Herbert, right? At least Justin Herbert showed domination in a conference that still had some real quality. You still had USC.
He was good in that Rose Bowl, too, if I remember right.
So on stages when we're really going to look where, hey, you're going to get an opponent from another division that should be pretty good. I mean, gosh, May just kind of folded in the Duke Mayo Bowl game, I think it was. He was in the Mayo Bowl game?
Mayo Bowl. It was a no-name. Mayo.
Well, no, Duke's is very big down south, brother, let me tell you. So you travel a little
all
bit.
Right,
so,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I went to Atlanta once.
Right. Well, Duke's is all over the South. It's like a Mason-Dixon thing, right? Up here, it's Hellman's. Down there, it's Duke's. And up here, it might be like Louisiana hot sauce. Down there, it's Texas Pete. So, well, Louisiana, too, as well. So that's my concern about Drake May is you can say he has all these great tools, and I will tell you Jamarcus Russell did as well in a much tougher conference. But if that football acumen does not kick in and the desire to be an absolute animal about the game, that's the concern. 617-779-7937. Text 37937. I don't know if this is coach, as in Willie T. Nelson?
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson.
By the way,
it.
The district, great show with him.
Yeah, so
talk about life, KJ.
That's TV. That's not live. Coach in New Hampshire, thanks for calling WEEI. You're on KJ and Lions.
Hey, guys, thanks. Number one, I'm not Craig T. Nelson. He was an actor. And I know you know that. This is what I want to say. I love the point you guys just made, because I was intrigued about the Vikings possibly giving the Pats 11-23 and maybe the first rounder next year, and thinking that, hey, at 11, we'd still have a few choices. Man, did we luck out, you know, going that route. So great point. And the reason I called, actually, is, you know, as far as the quarterback room now with Brissett and Zappe and Milton and obviously Drake May, we got to all remember it might be an open competition for the fact that it's a brand new system. It's brand new coordinator. It actually might not be a given that Brissett is our starter until May is ready. Love to hear your thoughts.
I think Brissett is the starter just because he knows the NFL speed and what's coming at him.
Sorry to cut you off, KJ.
No, it's okay, because I think if part of the conversation is Drake May's footwork, yeah, let's work on that instead of losing games with that right away, right? Let's make sure the things that we can control and manage, get those managed while at least we know, because the team is still in a rebuild. And I think sometimes we have to remember that as fans, is that this team won 4 games last year. Rarely do you ever go from winning 4 games the previous year to 12 the next year, unless you're like your star quarterback went down and now they're back and you happen to get a wonderful draft pick to go right next to them. The inverse has happened. the quarterback who was supposed to be the future didn't work out, so you got to go get another quarterback of the future, and you don't really have those pieces that exist. In fact, we've got, you know, Patriots receiver island coming up here in the next break because there's just too many in the room. So I don't know if I put Drake May out there right away because that's what you did with Mac and you saw the results.
Yeah, I think the only way I would put Drake May out there to start week one is if he is significantly better than Brissett in training camp, which I don't really anticipate because Brissett is, you know, he's a solid, serviceable NFL QB. I don't think, even though I think Drake May in the long run in his career will be better, I don't know if he's going to be that much better in him than August because, and like a lot of times when you have a young player and a veteran, if they're close, you lean towards playing the young player, right? Because if he's already almost there with a little bit more playing time, he'll get better. I think this is a case, though, where even if they're close, I would still play the veteran. Because the things that May has to work on and develop, you can take 8 weeks to do that. You can take 16 weeks to do that if you need to. And then he'll come in a much better spot. And quarterback is a unique position. Like, if you have a young receiver, well, you can rotate him in and out. You can put him in good spots. Like, the quarterback's right. The quarterback. You take out the quarterback, that's a bit. It's not like you're if they drafted Joe Alt at 3 overall, they could have rotated him at left tackle for the first few games if they wanted to until he was comfortable, right? Same thing if they had taken Marvin Harrison Jr. They could have rotated him for a while till he was. You can't really rotate a quarterback, right? You can't do that. So you have to make sure the guy is fully 100% ready. And it's not just the footwork stuff. It's, and Bill Belichick highlighted this on the McAfee show, I thought really well, how sometimes he'll come off his reads a little bit too early and be a little bit too quick to move away in his progression. Like, that's a serious thing in the NFL. It's something he can fix, but it's also something you want to have a good handle on before you play.
So you know why that's dangerous? And this goes back to the Mac Jones narrative that I think people do still kind of get wrong when they talk about his rookie year. That was really based on defense in the run game. And if you remember the early games of the season, because that's what we'd be talking about with Drake May, if you put him out there, you remember the Patriots seemed like they would always get stuck around the 25, moving the ball?
Yeah.
They could move it from the 25 to the 25, and then they would just get stuck, and it was a lot of field goals and so forth. Well, if you've got a person like Drake May, who probably seems to be more of a gambler than what Mac has in his DNA, that can be more disastrous because you feel like, I got to make a play here in the red zone, and losing points on the field. And that would be a quick way to lose a young quarterback's confidence when they know, hey, we believe in what you can do and your arm is great, but you're making mistakes in the red zone because guess what? That's the problem the last guy had.
And another piece of this is you don't know what you're doing at left tackle yet, which is his blind side. Right. Whereas Brissett, I think, can handle that a little bit better. And I feel like they're going to start the season with a core of four at left tackle and then eventually move to Caden Wallace if he ends up being what we think he can be or what they think he can be. But even that, I mean, a core of four hasn't played left tackle in the NFL that I know. I mean, he was a right tackle in Pittsburgh all those years. And then Caden Wallace played over 2,000 snaps at Penn State, but all at right tackle. So either way, you're talking about a guy in a new position in the NFL. So that's enough. Like, if you had offensive line in the NFL,
well, let's do this. Let's get to break. Let's get to break, and then let's talk about the other draft picks before we get deep into the woods so we can get a reset. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, we're talking Patriots draft, how it looked. We'll give it a grade here shortly. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Also still to come, Patriots receiver island. But right now it's time to trend with John Lyons.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. but the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
Just come to the home stadium and bring out popcorn. That's all I can tell y'all. Bring your popcorn. I make people in wheelchairs stand up.
KJ and Lions, WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That is fourth round draft pick. Javon Baker, the touchdown maker. John, I'll tell you what. We'll get to his comments and then we'll get to the other draft picks and, you know, second, third round, so forth, and some of the other guys. Here's what concerns me about a comment like that is you still got drafted, okay? You still got drafted, and this is a team that has a history of taking undrafted or lower drafted guys and turning them into something great. So I get the motivation piece, but we've seen that movie before. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost kind of like a thing that we've all seen, like, I'm going to make them pay. And I think in Seattle, they're thinking like, damn, DK Metcalf is making us kind of pay now, you know? So do it on the field first, then make the statement versus making the statement and potentially proving people right.
Yeah, so I'm okay that he said it like this one time, you know, around, you know, he gets picked, he says it now, but I don't want to hear it like every time he talks. You know what I mean? Like, okay,
but
say it, and then
round for a receiver is not bad.
Like, say it, then let your play do the talking, and then maybe say something else like later. You know what I mean?
And Brendan, that's Rice thing, went sixth round. Brendan and Rice, you know, so come
yeah,
on.
Jerry's son, right? Yeah. But it, and the thing about like a player like Baker is, and I can't say this for sure or whatever, but is that a sign that, you know, if he doesn't get the ball, is he going to be an issue of some sort? Because didn't he transfer schools?
Well, you walked right into what I was...
Yep, and one of the issues was because he wasn't getting the ball enough. Like, look, and again, I don't want to, like, get him in trouble for something he hasn't done yet. And so that's why, again, if he makes the comments one time and moves on, fine. But if we start hearing this all the time, that I think will be cause for a little bit of concern.
Well, 9 games as a reserve with Alabama in 2020, 2 receptions for 15 yards.
He was Mac's teammate? I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just put that together in my
well,
head.
Well, if Mac was still here, he'd probably have those same stats. 2021 at Alabama, played in all 11 games, but as a reserve, 7 for 101 yards. So 9 receptions in 2 years at Alabama. Then played in 2022 all 14 games and started 13 of them. When he went to UCF, and then last year, first all Big 12 conference, led the team with 52 receptions, down 4 receptions from the previous year, but double the yards, and 21.9 per game, where it was like 14.2, and played in all 13 games with 12 starts. So, yeah, I don't know where he probably has to realize that, you know, your body of work really only popped this year. Does that sound like somebody you know?
Yeah, well, I do. I mean, he was good in 2022, but yeah, he did take
this
it to another
Nikhil,
level.
This is like kind of N'Keal Harry level stuff, where N'Keal Harry had no stats his first couple of years in college and just took off on fire his last 2. So you don't take that guy in the first round. This is going to be a team that's going to be a little more cautious.
They had already, by the way, taken a receiver at the top of the second round, right? So that's still 2 receivers in the first 4 rounds. And the thing about Baker is he has a legit chance to play. Like, I know, hey, you're a 4th-round receiver, but given where their wide receiver room is at, and also his physical makeup, like 6'1", 208, guy who's primarily played on the outside, like, they don't have a lot of guys like that. Like, that's a guy that could play. He's pretty good with contested catches. I mean, he had 16 contested catches last year per PFF at UCF. And the thing about the Patriots, the guy who had the most contested catches for them, Devontae Parker and Hunter Henry tied, they only had 10. In a college season, he was better contested catch-wise than the 2 guys that led the Patriots. Like, that's something they're off. And Jalen Polk also had 13. He had more than Henry and Parker. But
that's why you don't want to miss Receiver Island coming up in 10 minutes here, because who's going to push who out? So let's get to Jalen Polk, because he's the second round pick. He's the second person, the second draft pick that the Patriots take. And I watched quite a bit of Washington games last year. And the reason why I did was because I was like, man, Penix throws such a professional ball. And I said, you know, Penix energy. Right. So, careful. Have that finger near the button, Zach. That says to me, it reminds me a lot, and I'm not saying these guys are at that quality of it, but they reminded me of when you had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase at LSU with Joe Burrow, that these guys were getting thrown balls by really exceptional quarterbacks. And this core, while obviously Rome Odunze is going to be the big name, both Polk and the other guy, I think
McMillan,
these guys contributed just as strong behind Rome Odunze. That's why Washington was so competitive, because it wasn't just a one receiver situation. I think Jalen Polk may be the one who becomes almost as big of a star as Rome Odunze if all things go correct, because this guy's got the acumen. Texas Tech played all 10 games, 28 receptions, redshirted in 2021, played three games, so that was the injury, played all 13 games, and then ended up at Washington for those, you know, for 21, 22, and 23, and had 69 receptions last year. So you're talking about a guy who had 69 catches behind the guy who went in the first round. This, I think, is the sneaky, beautiful pick of the draft for the Patriots.
Yeah, and what I like a lot about Polk is he 59% of his snaps out wide, so I think he could be a guy that plays X. Like, I think one of him or Baker could end up playing X. But 41% of his snaps in the slot, too, and I think that versatility is important, because my vision of Polk, I think long-term, he's like a really good wide receiver, too. Like your second best receiver on a team. So because he has that versatility, he can play Z, he can play X, he can line up in the slot. Then next offseason, if the Patriots look to target a real elite wide receiver, they can kind of pick whoever they want and adapt off that with Polk. Like, it's not like Polk is just a slot guy or just an X guy or just a Z guy. He's versatile enough that they can target a guy anywhere they want, and then Polk can adapt off that. So, and A, he'll be good in his own right, but that ability to adapt, I think, is really true. Because I think they wanted Keon Coleman initially, and when he went at 33, that's why they traded down. So they looked at Polk as, okay, maybe we liked Coleman a little bit better, but Polk's a guy that does a lot of those things, and we can line him up in different places, which is a long-term asset.
6'1", 203 pounds. I think it's going to address some of the issues that are in the receiver room that have to be addressed, because you would almost say maybe Kendrick Bourne is the only one that you would say, okay, we trust what he can do in the NFL right now.
I trust Douglas too.
Douglas as well, but at the same time, you wonder, can they pick up the energy that they had from last year? Potentially, does the role change for Douglas? Do you put Douglas more in a slot position now? So, these are things you start to look at where, I think it could work. I'm with you right there. Like, at some point, you probably, because you have you still have space and money to do it. Is there someone who might be a cap casualty who might have used to be a number one receiver, but can be an effective maybe 1A, 2B? Someone like I've mentioned, Adam Thielen.
Or the DeAndre Hopkins situation last year, like a player of that caliber didn't become a free agent until, after the draft. Like,
right.
That could be a guy. Or maybe it'll just be next offseason. Like, who knows what is Justin Jefferson going to stay in Minnesota for? Like, what if, J.J. McCarthy's not good there? And maybe he says, oh, I've had enough of this, and they have Jordan Addison anyway. Is DK Metcalf going to stay in Seattle forever? Look at the San Francisco situation. They have Debo Samuel and Ayuk, and they just drafted Ricky Pearsall. They're not keeping all three of those guys long term, already having McCaffrey and Kittle, and eventually having to pay the quarterback. Like, so one of those guys is going to be available. And again, that to me is one of the biggest assets about Polk. Not only do I think he can be good, but you could get a Debo Samuel and line him up at X or Z and line Polk up at the other spot. You could get Brandon Ayuk, line him up at Z and line Polk up at X, and you're fine. Like, that to me, if your long-term receiver group is Polk and then DeMario Douglas and Javon Baker, and then there's a guy in front of those three guys who's a big dog, elite number one type, you're going to have a great wide receiver group.
Well, I think determining what type of receiver or star receiver would come is contingent upon what the quarterback play looks like, right? So
sure.
Let's say you wait until free agency next year. You would want to see a Drake May that's played probably at least six games, so there's a good sample size to work from if you're a player and talking with their agent. And you'd want to see a guy to make a little that's taken some chances, right? Because that receiver says, hey, if I was in that position, I would have been able to get that ball. And I think the other part of it is, if you really believe in Jalen Polk being the long-term guy And I can't see why that wouldn't be the case. You got to get somebody in front of him who he can work off of that's been there, done that, and may not be the star. So it may not be a Justin Jefferson or it may not even be a Brandon Ayuk, who's more of an ascending player right now, where Deebo Samuel may be more of the slight dissension, because you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and no, I hear it, yeah, like right. Ayuk's the younger guy. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. So you could see someone like or even a DK Metcalf, where you feel like there's probably a little more in the tank than Deebo Samuel, because he's not used the same way Deebo Samuel is, but you want to make sure that his head's straight to be inside of this new culture that you're building with Jerod Mayo. So those things play a factor as well. But I don't want to spend too much time on him, because we got to get to the offensive line. Caden Wallace, the third pick for the Patriots in round three from Penn State at 6'4". You mentioned earlier that he's never played left tackle in college. Does this potentially maybe move Mike and Wenyu back over to the left side until they know what is what?
It's funny you say that. That crossed my mind, for sure. And Caden Wallace did do some work at the Shrine Bowl at left tackle, so I mean, I guess at least he's done some, but yeah, he's never played a game in college. Yeah, right, exactly. He's never played a game in college there. Like, I think they'd probably be better off having a core of four start out at left tackle, develop Wallace, and maybe halfway through the year, he takes over. Later in the year, he takes over, because he's got a lot of the tools. I mean, 6'4", 315, he's a really good pass blocker. He's not a bad run blocker, but he's a really good pass blocker. He even said in his media availability after he was picked that he's confident that he can play left tackle in the NFL. And of course, you know, what do you expect him to say? Like, no, I suck.
Maybe.
But another thing, when he's gone up against good competition, like he did really well against Aiden Hutchinson when Aiden Hutchinson was at Michigan. Like, he's done a good job in the Big Ten against some really good pass rushers there. So it's still an adjustment, but I would lean more towards keeping on Wenyu at right tackle and then having Wallace develop behind a core of four at left, so that, because you know on when he was a great right tackle, you signed him to be a great right tackle, and he's played a little bit of guard, but he's never really played on the left
but
side.
But you drafted a right tackle.
Right, no, I hear you, but I'd rather have the new guy develop him into the eventual left tackle and keep the great right tackle that you have there. But I wouldn't be shocked, KJ, if we get into training camp.
With a rookie quarterback, you sure you don't want...
But Brissett will be playing. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I envision
Drake
Brissett,
May might be playing sooner if he'll protect Jacoby Brissett, too.
I envision Brissett starting the year off, which allows them, again, to develop a guy at left tackle as well as quarterback over the course of the long term. But I wouldn't be shocked, like, and not to contradict myself, but I wouldn't be shocked if we do see Onwenu, like, if I show up in training
so
camp.
So the answer is yes.
Onwenu's playing left. No, I still think they should keep Onwenu at right tackle, but it did cross my mind when they picked him.
All right, round four, Layden Robinson, guard, Texas A&M, 6'3", 302. Started all 12 games at right guard in 2022, second team All-SEC. Started 11 games at right guard in 2023. Are we starting to have potentially maybe questions about Cole Strange?
Yeah, I think so, because I thought Sidy Sow at right guard was pretty good the last 4 or 5 games of last year that he played. I thought he was really bad early on, but I thought he got much better as the year went on, and I think he can be your right guard, which would make me think Layden Robinson's going to be your left guard, unless you want to move Sidy Sow there. But yeah, I think, to me, this early on, it's probably a depth piece, but it does signal to me that maybe they have some concerns about Cole Strange, you know, long-term at left guard, and they're going to either put Robinson there or try to move Sow.
Now, talking about depth piece, let's jump down to Marcellus Dial, cornerback, South Carolina, taken in round six. I think this is just someone else to get into the mix, but he might be in the mix to the point where this is where the history of the Patriots says it doesn't matter where you are on the draft side. We could coach you up on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
You might get some runs.
And let's not forget that defensive coaching staff that did a good job all those years, a lot of those guys are still here, right? It's, you know, the head coach is gone, the offensive staff is different, but a lot of those defensive coaches, including their corners coach Mike Pellegrino, all still here. And when you, like, corner, to me, it's kind of a sneaky need for the Patriots, because Gonzalez is a stud.
You can never have enough, right?
Yeah,
went down last year, it was like, oh God.
And Jonathan Jones, I think, is a really good player, but Marcus Jones is coming off an injury. You have Alex Austin, who I like. He had the interception in Buffalo late in the year, but he still played limited amounts of snaps. You want depth there, but you also want another guy. I think they're at their best if Jonathan Jones is playing in the slot. So you want Gonzalez outside, but if you can find another guy that can be a good number two outside corner and allow John Jones to be in the slot, then I think you have a really elite secondary. Whereas if Jonathan Jones has to stay outside, that's fine. But I think one of the reasons they picked Dial is maybe for that to happen, but also, like you said, that's a position you really want some depth to.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say about Joe Milton, because we did discuss him a bit earlier about the quarterback room, it's funny how some people are already ready to throw him to tight end. And you remember some of the issue last year with, give me his name again, who was the practice of Malik Cunningham. Who was it that was saying, you know, hey, hate to see him go? And it was Trent Brown.
Yeah.
So I don't think they want to have another situation where a guy flashes well in practice. And I don't think Joe Milton's going to be like, well, you know, I need to be the guy. This is not going to be a Willie Beeman situation in any given Sunday. But I think if you're going to say, let's go with three active quarterbacks, and that third guy potentially may be the guy. We don't know what's going to happen with Drake May. We hope the best. But we've seen otherwise with the last guy. That if Joe Milton is that guy that's potentially ready, at least give him the shot to be able to take the reps at quarterback instead of saying, he's just going to be a tight end. Because imagine the conversation we'd be having. Oh, yeah, you remember back in 2000, that guy we took in the sixth round? Yeah, that dude's really just going to be probably, he might be a punter. He has got some punting skills.
Yeah, I think this can be a really valuable pick if he becomes your long-term backup. And that's really like when you get to the sixth round, that's what you're kind of hoping
or
on.
A
hey,
star.
This guy, you know, this guy has some traits that we like. Or
yeah,
because
that
develop.
Was the hope of Tom Brady, right?
Yeah,
he'd be the long-term backup.
Like Joe Milton, his accuracy is pretty bad, but he's got a lot of good physical skills. Right, he's got a lot of good physical skills. And if you look at their quarterback room, like Jacoby Brissett's probably only going to be here 1 year, maybe two max, but probably one. Bailey Zappi, he might be gone before this season, but maybe one more year max. So long-term, like if you can have Drake May on a reasonably affordable contract for at least a few years as your starter and then a cheap backup that you're developing, that's a lot of money you can spend other places to field a really good team. And then even once Drake May gets a big extension, you can keep Joe Milton around as a valuable backup.
Or we have a repeat of what happened from 2001 through this year, and then Joe Milton becomes the quarterback of the Patriots.
Yeah, that would be fun. Super Bowl. But again, right, I think it's valuable, and that's the thing about the Patriots quarterback situation. I mean, we've seen over the last 2 years, when you don't have a really good alternative and the starter struggles, you're in trouble. I mean, last year, Zappi won the couple games, like the Thursday night game and the game in Denver, but I mean, he really wasn't on the whole that good. But they didn't have a viable option for Mac Jones. So Mac Jones was out there longer than he should have. Then you put Zappi in. By that time, the season's toast. Like, if you can have a viable option as a solid backup, it's a really valuable thing to have in the NFL.
And in the final pick for the Patriots, Jaheim Bell out of Florida State played at South Carolina in 20 and 2021, including in the 2021 Duke Mayo Bowl in their win over North Carolina. See the Mayo showing up again. Played 12 games in 2022 with 6 starts. And then last year, second team All-ACC, played 13 games with 9 starts, about 40 receptions and about 500 yards receiving. I think this might be the sneaky pick in the room for the tight end position because everything else has not worked in terms of paying for it. Gesicki didn't work. So Jonnu Smith didn't work, even though he worked when he got to Atlanta amazingly. So I think this is one guy who you say, all right, if he can get it done and can make the team, you might be able to get all of these guys to make the team.
Yeah, and last year there were some games that Farrell Brown was their best tight end and best offensive weapon. Jaheim Bell kind of reminds me of Farrell Brown, like 6'2", 241, big guy. And with Hunter Henry there and Austin Hooper for a year, like they can develop him. He might even be a practice squad guy for a year, a depth guy and develop. But there's, like, again, I don't want to get too excited about seventh-round picks here, but
On what they do.
There are a lot of traits to like here, and it is a position they're going to need, especially after this year. They're going to need some youth there, and I like it. And what's the best thing you can do for a young quarterback? Get him a good offensive line, and then get him some good tight end play, right? And you have Hunter Henry now, but over the course of the next few years, if Bell can end up developing and being a pretty good, you know, tight end two or 12 personnel second tight end, like that's a good pick, right? So we'll see chances are, we just went through their whole draft, half these guys won't work out because that's just what the percentages are. But I could see Bell being one of those guys that does work out.
Well, look at it this way. Shannon Sharp, round 7, pick 192. So you see what I'm saying? It depends on the position you're drafting. If you're talking about an O-line in the 7th round, God, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But if you're talking about a tight end, maybe even a backup running back, or even sometimes we're in the situation, look at Pop Douglas, in the 6th round as a receiver, these things can happen if you're put in the right environment. Well, speaking of Pop Douglas and the regulars that are now in this room, the Patriots have 8 receivers in the receiver room. So I take you to Just sit back, folks, and you'll hear a tale of some unbelievable ish. The Patriots have 8 receivers now, and maybe only 3 will fit. Only 3 may fit here on Pat's Receiver Aisle. Zach, hit it.
All righty, who stays, who goes? You get to keep 3. First one, KJ Osborne.
John.
He goes.
He just got here, and how can I not be favorable to a guy named KJ? But I'm also selfish. There's only one KJ in the Boston market. His ass has got to go to him.
All right. Next one up, Kendrick Bourne.
Stays.
You got to stay because somebody's got to steer the ship and prevent everybody from drowning, right? So he gets to stay. So that's one. Woo. Now this is going to be tough. We can only keep 3, John.
I want to keep more than 3 for the record.
Next up, the second round pick of the Patriots, Jalen Polk.
Stays.
Woo, this is a tough one, and you can put him on hold if you want to right now. Zach, who you got?
Next one up. Arguably the Patriots' best receiver last year. Actually, I don't even think it was arguably. Demario Douglas.
Oh, definite stay.
Okay, so we are at 3 now, so let's go through the others. Javon Baker. I'm sorry, I just jumped in front of you, Zach.
You're good.
Yeah. I mean, Javon Baker could be like I'd stay him. He'd probably be a practice squad guy, maybe to start depth guy.
I'll put a number 4 next to him as well. Yeah. Okay, so that's the 4th, just in case.
Yeah.
All right, next, Zach.
Next up, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Gone.
Splash that again. Gone twice. Juju, see you. All right, who else we got left, Zach?
All right, 2 left. Next up, Tyquan Thornton.
Gone.
This is tough for me because it's like he's a second-round guy. Do you give him one last chance? I'm going to put him to the side for right now, so I can't throw him over just yet. All right, last one.
All righty, last but not least, Jalen Reagor.
I keep him as a kick returner only, so gone from the receiver room, but I think he makes the roster returning kicks.
So we've got 6 of them now. Okay, so now we've got to go back and we've got to trim this down.
Did we say Kayshon Booty? Because he's a definite gone, by the way. I think
I didn't even put him up there. Yeah,
okay. He's definite gone. You can splash it. He's gone. Yeah.
In fact, I had a bet on that splash. Splash it again so that way I could cover.
Yeah, hit the over. Yeah.
That was your best line so far today, Lions.
Thank you.
All right. So we say Kendrick Bourne is staying, so he's safe. Yeah. Jalen Polk is safe, too, because he just got here. We could say Tyquan Thornton going, right?
Yeah.
I agree, too. He's gone. Splash him. So now we got to make the argument about Jalen Reagor or Javon Baker. Can we make the argument that Javon Baker may be the return guy?
Well, I do think either way, I think like if you had to pick between the two, Baker's probably the guy you keep. Younger guy, better physical skills.
Splash Reagor. I mean, this is just the tough life of football.
Yeah. So now I do think, though, they're going to end up keeping like 5 receivers.
Okay.
Maybe even 6. I know that wasn't the exercise, but I think they might do that.
So showing mercy, we'll keep 4, and the 4 we keep are Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Polk, Pop Douglas, Javon Baker.
The room looks
but you know what? But the room feels better. It doesn't feel as stagnant. And maybe Javon Baker is the hungry guy in that room that's going to push Demario Douglas and Jalen Polk. So maybe these are the things that you want to get going on Patriots receiver island. So see how easy that was, John? We got rid of half of the receiver room in 4 minutes.
We saved Bob Kraft a lot of money, which I know he's happy about.
Yeah, and we can give it all to Drew to pay him back and say, no, I'm totally kidding. The final break, and we got Would You Rather More Likely To next here on KJ and Lions here on WEEI. Thank you for spending your Sunday with us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Rocking the Beatles today. Dun, 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 dun. Ba-da-da-da. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Thank you for spending your Sunday with us. Let's get to the text line before we get into would you rather, more likely to, either or. Nico, what you got?
All righty. Got one from about the Celtics. This convincing win last night should do nothing but question where the hell this was in game two.
John?
See, now, KJ, that's a Boston fan right there, and I love it. There we go. But, yeah, no, look, we talked about this in the post game, and we talked about it earlier today. I mean, the way they came out in games one and three were what we wanted to see from the Celtics this postseason, but we need to see it all the time, right? If they're going to win a championship, they're going to have grinded out wins in every series, especially as the playoffs go on. So, hopefully, game two was a wake-up call for them because, remember, they didn't play a meaningful game for like 3 weeks, and then they played game one, and they shot the ball really well and won easily. They really hadn't had a tough grinded out game till then. So hopefully it was a wake-up call, but if we see it again, to the texter's point, I'll be pretty concerned.
He's coming on at 3 o'clock, but he's here now. Travis Thomas, what do you think? And thank you for being here, my man.
Man, of course. I appreciate you guys for having me in. I mean, listen, this is what we've seen all season from this team. It's not going to be any different in the playoffs where all of a sudden some magic pill or some flip gets switched and they dial in and they're, locked and loaded every single game and they smoke everybody like they should in the Eastern Conference. The fact of the matter is with this team, they have played with their food all season long. This is what they do. We've seen it at home. We've seen it on the road. We've seen it against bad teams. So we get in the playoffs now against a hungry Heat team. Heat culture, they always talk about, which we know means defense. Spoelstra drawing it up perfectly and beautifully. Of course, they played dirty. We understand that too. And this is what happens. But we saw what happened in game three when they got refocused. I believe it'll be that way the rest of the way out. But whoever they play in the East, in the finals, if they get there, they're going to have games where they have brain farts. This is what they do.
Yeah, but the Heat right now look like Madonna without makeup on.
Think the Celtics have been better about that this year than in years past. Like last year, we've talked about it ad nauseum. They play with their food all the time. This year, they've been better. But again, until they actually win the championship and get all the way through, these questions are going to be there, and frankly, they've earned those questions to be there in a bad way. But I do think they're better about that than last year, but it's not 100%.
All right, Travis, before we get out of here, you're going to stay and play Would You Rather More Likely to Either Or with us?
Hey, I'll do whatever you guys want. I'm just happy to be here.
Hit it, Zach.
Yeah. Would you rather more likely to either or I ask of you? Would you rather more likely to either or I ask of you?
All right, three questions. Would you rather more likely to happen and either or? They can be in anything, sports, life, Here we go.
All righty. Let's get things started with Would You Rather. Would you rather Drake May become the starter before or after 8 games?
Travis, you're our guest. Before or after 8 games?
I'm saying before because I'm not punting on this season like a lot of people are that I've heard. I believe with this defense, they're going to be in every game. And I think Jacoby Brissett is someone who won't lose a game for you, but he's not dynamic enough to win it either. Drake May could be. So I'd rather before.
20 seconds. John Lyons.
I want it after Halloween. I want him to have some time to develop.
I'm going to say after 8 games, if the Patriots are 4-4, I think that's a victory already, and then turn the reins over, that would be good. All right, Zach, next one.
More likely to happen. Bill Belichick to talk about his feelings on the Dynasty series while on ESPN's Pat McAfee Mondays, or Tom Brady gets dropped down to the B team after one season as an analyst on Fox.
God, can I go neither?
No, there's an answer to this. I say Brady gets dropped down to the B team after one season because all that money they're giving him, they let him sit for a year like Berg going back to Indiana State, and everybody's screaming for Greg Olsen, who will be hanging around. I think Brady is more likely to get dropped to the B team after one season as an analyst than Bill lampooning anger about the dynasty on Apple.
Yeah, I would agree, but for a different reason. I think Belichick wants to coach again next year, so he's going to do everything possible to not insult one of the NFL owners, even if he feels he's right, because it might affect him getting a job from someone else.
Belichick's going to be like, new phone number, who dis? Because Robert Kraft. All right, final one, Zach.
All righty, final one. Either or. Either go out drinking with Karen Reed, or go without taking allergy medicine this entire spring.
Oh, damn. Oh. Go out drinking with Karen Reed or go without taking allergy medicine. Have you seen my face is swollen up? Like Benadryl, I have to take like a whole pack just to breathe. But I don't know, man. You know, Karen can she toss them down. I'm talking about the drinks, that is.
Yeah, I'm going to just not take the allergy medicine. I don't want any connection to that news story at all.
I'm actually living proof of not taking the allergy medicine. I decided this year I'm not going to do it because it doesn't work for me.
Those drinks will clear your nose.
No, I'm in hell with or without the medicine, so I'm going cold turkey this year.
You know what? I would go out drinking with Karen Reed because if I found the right spritzer that would be able to clear out my sinuses, I don't have to hang out with her after having the drinks. I could just go the other way. So I would go out drinking with Karen Reed, and no, bro, she's not going to sleep with you. That's a message to somebody else. But there's just no way I'm going through this allergy season the way that it's been. So thank you so much for being here with KJ and Lyons. If you've missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Make sure you type in WEEI or 93.7. That'll get you there. Click the little white heart. It'll save you so that way next time it won't personally save you, but it will get you to the location here, the station, the next time. John, have a wonderful week. Take some time to share some personal stories.
Yes.
Damn it, I'm about to pay for a wedding.
I'll do it tomorrow night on Celtics postgame.
See,
I'll
there you go. I got to pay for a wedding coming soon.
I'll talk
Travis,
about
have a great show. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Have a great Sunday. See you later.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.